From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
A 2-day national conference on road safety has opened in Killarney with the central theme of safer roads. 185 people lost their lives on our roads in the last year, and 57 north of the border. And so far this year, 32 have lost their lives in the Republic. So with the rise of road deaths, are we framing all of this wrong? And should we be framing road deaths as, in fact, a public health emergency? Sinead O'Sullivan is a business economist and joins us to discuss this on her website on tracking road deaths. Good evening to you, Sinead. First of all, what made you want to get involved and sort of give your I suppose, take on road deaths here?
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. You know, it's interesting because I had written a couple of times for the Irish Times already on road deaths in Ireland. And I've been thinking about it a lot and had tried to figure out what the status quo was for Ireland versus other European countries. And when I was trying to do this research, I ultimately could not find any of the data that I needed to do any comparison to see whether we are performing better or worse at the policy level. So that ultimately led to me creating the data myself so that I could do the analysis. And when I created the data, I realized, oh my God, nobody else seems to have this data. And it really is only when you look at it, you know, and step back and you can really visualize what the data looks like that you realize this is actually a problem that is potentially much bigger than we think about it, or certainly in terms of how we talk about it in Ireland.
You've said that a road death is not caused by a bad driver, but is caused by a driver on a bad road. Is that always the case?
Well, this is where Ireland diverges significantly from the rest of the EU. So in Ireland, there are a lot of, you know, road campaigns, and indeed our road regulations and policies kind of take the approach that the driver is at fault when there's a death on the road. Now, it is impossible in every situation to really understand what happened, why there was an accident. But what we know to be true about humans in general, I mean, I am not a great driver, is that you cannot prevent bad drivers from existing. You cannot prevent every single person from always being 100% a safe driver. Other countries understand this, and they design roads around bad drivers. So the assumption is that there are always going to be a number of bad drivers or people who act recklessly. The difference is that the road in Europe is designed so that when an accident, which is inevitable, happens, it is not a lethal accident. In Ireland, our roads are not designed to be withstanding accidents, and therefore nearly every accident leads to death.
Well, I would argue that there are tens of thousands of accidents every day that don't lead to deaths. And I would say that statistically would be completely flawed. But I've driven on roads. I've driven in France, I've driven in Spain, I've driven in Italy. In what way are you saying that their roads differ from our roads to make their roads safer?
So I guess it goes back to the institutional structure behind the way that roads are regulated. So in, let's say, France, Germany, certainly the Nordics, which is where I use comparative data quite frequently. When there is an accident, there's a lot of data that is created around that accident, and there is a lot of investigative analysis that is done on the road itself. Decisions are then made on that specific spot as to whether or not there should be a redesign of that spot per accident. In Ireland, there's no such investigation and there's no such data collection. So you could have several accidents at the same spot on the same road in Ireland, and there is no further analysis done around whether or not the road itself should be changed.
Okay.
Indeed, the black spots stopped being reported on in 2016. By the RSA. So we don't even know where the black spots are.
And if we did,
discussion.
If we did know, I remember actually that it used to be around my locality, there would be those accident black spot signs. I do remember them. And now that you mention it, I don't remember seeing one recently for quite a long time. But if there were, I suppose, information on black spots available to us, what would need to change in an accident black spot, I suppose, location to make that road safer? What are you talking about doing?
I mean, there are many things that we can do to make it safer. We can either redesign the road, we can, you know, figure out what about that particular stretch of road makes it dangerous, and to change the physical.
And that's what I'm specifically asking you. What do you mean by redesign the road? Do you mean make it wider? Do you take out a bend? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so for example, if you look at recent crashes in Donegal, the road where there was a recent crash, people had known that it was too narrow. In fact, roads today are being built with the assumption that it is too narrow for two car passing. This shouldn't be allowed, first of all. Second of all, once there is an accident there, something should be physically changed about the road. So there's an infrastructure element to this that goes beyond behavioral aspects of driving.
Okay, so that's one of the things that you think we need to do to look at road design in order to. But I thought it was quite interesting. You said it should be defined, our situation with road deaths, as a public health crisis, and you said that it should be defined as such because it meets certain criteria, namely.
Well, if you look at other public health crises, they kind of follow very similar definitions. In that we know that it's a specific subgroup of the population that is overwhelmingly affected, which in this case, it is young men. We know that there are interventions that could be used but are not being used. In this case, you know, there are structural reforms that could and should happen because they've worked, they've been proven to work in other countries. So if you, by the public health definition, this would qualify for a public health crisis. In Ireland, the question is not, is this a public health issue or is it not? It clearly is. I mean, the question is, do we want to discuss it through that lens? Because I think once you look at it through the public health lens, it becomes a much more serious question. And one of the things in Ireland, which is quite strange, is that a lot of people will often say things like, well, it's impossible to prevent these things from happening. There's always going to be a certain number of people mm-hmm. who are going to be victims of this anyway. The public health lens actually reverses that significantly and says, actually, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars globally, but in Ireland, we put a lot of resources into known issues like cancer, physical health, mental health. This is exactly the same as any of those. But in fact, you could argue from a data perspective that the magnitude of this is actually much worse than any of the cancers that we spend a lot of time and resources on, because the people that are victims of this are significantly younger. And through a public health lens, this magnifies the issue by a massive amount.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
I think from having read what you've said, what you're talking about is because it disproportionately affects young people, that years of life lost to road deaths is a greater number than it would be, for example, from something like prostate cancer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you consider that the average life expectancy in Ireland is 83 years old, you might have a very large number of people that die every year from cancer when they're 80, 81. But the cumulative impact of that is maybe 1 or 2 years of life lost per per victim. Unfortunately, because road deaths are disproportionately impacting young people, you might have a 20-year-old who dies, and that's a 63. In one victim, you have 63 years of life lost. So this is the public health, I guess, one of the metrics that is used in this framing. And it really shows you how disproportionately large of an issue this is, because, you know, I mean, there are many ways that you could look at this economically. What is the value of a life? It's not very, you know, it's not a very nice thing to do. But when you think about the number of years that are lost to road traffic accidents, you realize that it is a much more serious issue than, you know, some of the other issues.
So just to kind of cut to the chase, then there are five things that you think should happen to change and to make impact on our level of road deaths. What are they?
Yeah, so the first is very simple. It is a structural reform of the Road Safety Authority. At the minute, there is no single commissioner that has the ability and the power and the structure to be able to oversee and implement road safety decisions. So that is the first thing that needs to happen. The second is really that we are trying to get TDs involved and to post and to ask public questions to increase the accountability of the government around this issue, because there really hasn't been an awful lot of understanding around why this has or has not changed. There was a motion to change it last year, and that was reversed for relatively unknown reasons. So all of the reforms that are being asked are very binary, and they are specifically campaigning structural things. So another one is automated speed cameras. In Finland, there are nearly 4,000 of them. In Ireland, there are 12. Black spot redesign. Again, 2016, we stopped even naming the black spots. And then reversing the enforcement collapse. Policing is a big issue here. We are down 43% on penalties for dangerous driving. And this is not, I assure you, because people are driving more safely. So all of these structural issues together can create a kind of zero tolerance environment that is needed to enable Ireland's
I've read your notes, and you make some very good points, Sinead. You do, and when you put it in a very simple form of cameras, enforcement, redesign of roads, and a commissioner, I think there's a lot of logic to it. But someone has texted in and said, by your guess logic, we are taking personal responsibility for driving off ourselves and handing it over to road engineers. Absolutely ludicrous. The roads don't move, the vehicle does. Accidents will happen due to driver negligence and disrespect for our roads. Experts will also say that the main reasons that people die on the roads are things like speed, distracted driving, drink, drugs, those kinds of things. Can road design really compensate for those things?
You're taking one of many structural reforms there. No, a road is never going to. I mean, I spent the first few minutes, several minutes, outlining that zero tolerance, you cannot remove a dangerous driver from a road. However, you can create an atmosphere, a culture of zero tolerance. In fact, Ireland has already done it with drink driving, where, you know, it is culturally inappropriate to do that. Now, unfortunately, behavioral change is downstream of structural reinforcement. Okay. At the minute, there is zero incentive to drive safely.
Look, thank you. Thank you, Sinead. That is Sinead O'Sullivan, their business economist. Love to know what people think about all of that. One text does say, that lady is bang on the money about Irish roads. Too narrow, too many bends, poorly marked, no cat's eyes and poorly maintained.
Yeah, there's 100,000 kilometres of roads in Ireland. Like, we're not going to unbend all of them or even a fraction of them. So
there's 96,000, which is very similar to what you just said, but 90,000 of them are secondary roads, Shane. So I think you're bang on. So I think our level of, you know, main arteries, the M this and the M that, are quite a small proportion of our actual
thing. I think speed cameras is huge. I thought that was an interesting stat about comparing what Finland has to what Ireland has. I think that would make a difference. I think enforcement is absolutely the key.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.